Before we get to First John, chapter number 5, just a little bit of review from last week, and we were talking about how sometimes our care, our worry can take our Christian joy, and how many different things there are in our life that we can worry about. God knows there's tons of them. And we've quoted scripture many times. The Lord said that we're not supposed to be careful or full of care about anything. But he said by everything, he said in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God said, take your requests, your cares, give them to God. And Jesus said, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. So we don't have to bear our burdens, Brother Sean, alone. And God knows this life full of burdens. Jesus had burdens. And he, you know, there were things that were piled upon him, Brother Gary. And he was God, brother. He could overcome any of them. But he robed himself in human flesh and lived a life like we live so he could show us, and being our example, how to live this life. And we've got, every one of us have got cares. Every one of us have got worries. No doubt there's something that you packed in here with you this morning that's weighing on your shoulders right now. And the devil would have it that those cares, those worries that we all have, those things would be a stumbling block in our Christian life, and they would keep us from enjoying our Christian experience and for being the kind of Christian that God would have us to be, the servant of the Lord, the worshiper of God that he'd have us to be, and also a light to the world. The devil would have that be a stumbling block in our way. But the Lord would have us to cast that care on him and go on for God, trusting him by faith. And we've got to exercise our faith in this life. If we don't, we're going to be overcome by the fiery darts of the wicked. And we'll get to that in a minute, and I'll look at it again. But over in the book of Ephesians, where the Bible says we're supposed to take on the whole armor of God, he said above all, taking the shield of faith. When we put on our armor, he goes through the whole armor, the spiritual armor that we're supposed to put on. And we need every part of it, Brother Gary. It's not a part we need to do without. I mean, we need it all. But he said, above all, above everything in your armor, he said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That means extinguish or put out. The devil has those fiery darts. And if any of you ever watched any History Channel or maybe stuff in school or maybe seen on a movie somewhere, they literally used to have fiery darts. They'd have some kind of gauze or something wrapped around the end, or maybe the dart itself would burn, but they would set those things on fire, and the archers would fire them maybe into an enemy's castle or into a troop, Brother Gary, and the thing would fall in there and, I mean, actually catch stuff on fire. They'd start fires that way. And the Bible's given a literal example. They had fiery darts back then. They'd shoot them. They'd be on fire when they hit them. And, boy, the devil has fiery darts that he shoots at every one of us, every one of those. And boy, and a lot of them come in the form of care, or there are things that cause care in our life, or concern, or worry. And none of us need to be burdened down by those things. And every one of us have got things this morning we can worry about. And sometimes, you know how it is in your life, that old saying, when it rains, it pours. It's true, Brother Gary. Most of the time, it doesn't just come in teaspoonfuls. I mean, the devil will dig a big old shovel of it up and throw it at you all at the same time. And you just feel like you're buried under the weight of that. And it's hard to get out from under it. And the Lord, that's where the Lord would have us to exercise our faith. He said if we have the shield of faith, that shields us against those fiery darts. And he said it'll quench those fiery darts. It'll put them out. You can put those fiery darts of the devil out that he sends our way by exercising our faith, by just trusting God. So, you know, I don't understand this situation. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know what the answer is, but I know God does, and I'm going to leave it with him. I'm going to leave this situation with the Lord, and God can handle it. He'll put those fiery darts out, and our faith can extinguish those darts that the devil fires in every one of us. But sometimes, no doubt, our care is because of a lack of faith. And we looked at a couple illustrations of that last week. When Jesus was asleep in the ship, and boy, the waves were coming into the ship. The disciples were out on the sea, and they went to Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And boy, when we get in our valleys and our low times, isn't that about the way we come to the Lord, Brother Mike? Lord, don't you care what's going on in my life? Can't you see what's going on? God, I'm going down. My ship's sinking. Everything's going south. Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing? We might not say it in those exact words, Brother Gary, but from our heart, that's what we're saying. That's what we're crying out to God. And the Lord rebuked them because of their lack of faith. And they were in a ship that was filling up with water, Brother Gary. And sometimes our ship gets full of water in life, and boy, it feels like we're going down. But God still wants us to trust Him, even in the midst of the storm, even when it's hot and heavy, even when everything's going wrong, God wants us to trust Him. And boy, if we'll do that then, Brother Gary, we don't have to live a defeated life. And I'm not saying we're never going to be sad when somebody dies or bad things come. Sadness comes in life. That's part of it. That's one of the things that's going to be done away. All the sickness and crying and sadness and all those things will be done away in the next life. We got to deal with them in this life. But I'm saying how we cannot be overcome by those times and let it affect our attitude in a way that we live a defeated Christian life. If you don't watch, I've adopted this attitude before. You know that there are afflictions coming your way as God's people. If you don't watch, you live your life in anticipation of the next bad thing. You understand what I'm saying? You know something. Maybe you got a little repose from your bad times. Maybe right now everything's going okay. If you don't watch, you'll be looking forward to the next bad time because you know it's coming, and you won't really allow yourself to be happy and joyful because you're looking for the next bad thing to come. Amen. But we need to enjoy our Christian life, even during the bad times,
Amen.
Brother Gary. And boy, the Bible says we're supposed to rejoice and hope. The Bible says, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? If it's something that we see, Brother Gary, why do we hope for it? We already have it, right? And just like even maybe a material thing. Maybe you had an automobile that you wanted, and boy, you look forward to getting that certain automobile, and with hope, you were waiting for that automobile. Once you had it, you don't hope for it anymore, right? It's yours. You no longer hope for it. But the Bible says we're supposed to rejoice in hope.
Amen.
And Brother Gary, I find I can rejoice in hope even in the darkest valley. I believe when the Apostle Paul was in the Mamertine prison and he was writing that Philippian letter, I firmly believe, Brother Gary, that he was rejoicing in hope. When they were in the prison there in hold and they were chained to the wall and Peter and boy, that they began to sing praises to God and Barnabas, who was it, Peter, and who was in the prison? Praying to God when God opened the jailhouse and saved the centurion. Paul and Silas, thank you. Do one of those, drawing a blank. Paul and Silas in the jail, locked up there. Boy, I sure don't believe they were singing praises and rejoicing in their circumstances, Brother Gary. They were rejoicing in hope, and that's exactly what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Even in the darkest valley, we can rejoice in hope. And what is our hope? Our hope's set before us, right? Bible says we're supposed to rejoice in hope, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, the hope of what's waiting every one of us. We can rejoice in hope even in the midst of a dark valley. That's the only thing we have to rejoice in, Brother Gary. And that's another trademark between the Christian and the world. The world doesn't have anything to hope in when there's a dark valley. They got to turn to the bottle or drugs or something to get their mind off of it. But we can rejoice in hope even in the midst of a valley. Every one of us can. Ever seen some saint of God, and I think we all have, you've been in church any time at all during a testimonial service, going through all hell and torment in their life, and stand up with tears in their eyes and say, I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I know I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
And boy, they've reminded themselves of the hope that's set before them, and we all need to do that. We can rejoice in hope. Can't always rejoice in our circumstances in this life, but we can rejoice in hope. And the Bible tells us to rejoice in hope. And every one of us need to learn how to do that. Boy, and that's how Paul could write that Philippian letter in the Mamertine prison, standing in that muck and mire and rats running all around him and cockroaches and whatever else is down in that thing. I believe Brother Scott and Sister Elise have been down inside that. Brother Biddle's been down inside that. They said it's something to see. There in Rome, and he could write a letter like he wrote, and they could write being there in hold in a prison. I mean, sing praises unto God in the middle of the night,
right?
Because of their circumstances, no, they were either going to be put to death, Brother Gary, or beat half to death, or so. They had nothing to look forward to in their circumstances, But they can rejoice in hope. And we can, at the same time, do the exact same thing. God's no respecter of persons. We can, in the midst of our trials and our circumstances, we can rejoice in hope, Brother Terry, of what's waiting us. Hey, we don't need to lose touch with that, Brother Gary.
Right.
We don't need to lay up all our treasure down here and get our minds so focused on this earth that we never think about what's waiting for us. That's why the Lord said, lay up your treasures in heaven. He said, for where your treasure is, where did he say, what else would be there? Your heart will be there also, right? Mm-hmm. For where a man's treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Right.
But if your treasure's down here, right? If that's where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be.
Right.
Nothing to rejoice in about that, Brother Gary. Mm-hmm. And a Christian can get sidetracked even in that.
Right.
We can start laying up our treasure down here so much and make this life so much and make our living down here so much that we fail to put it up there. And then when hard times come, hey, there's nothing down here to rejoice in, Brother Gary. But there is up there, always something up there. Because the Bible says, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But when we don't see it, we have patience to wait for it, the Bible says. So as God keeps that carrot out there looming in front of us the whole time we're living our Christian life. You know, here it is, here it is, here it is. And I think the older we get and the more experiences we have in life, and I can understand how a person could get to the end of their life and say, I'm just ready to go on and be with the Lord.
Certainly.
I'm tired of all the sickness. I'm tired of all the pain. I'm tired of all the dying, the death. I'm tired of it. I just want to go on to be with the Lord. I want to go on and be with my Lord. I think the longer we live, Brother Terry, the closer we get to God, the more comfortable we are in our relationship with Him, the easier it is to make that transition. And I think that's a process God's making in every one of our lives every day. And boy, that's why it's so easy to just step across when we get to that place in our life. I think sometimes we wonder when we're young, how can a person say that? I just want to go on and be with the Lord. Don't they want to live? Don't they have a desire to live their life? Well, sure they do. You imagine how it is. I was thinking about my grandmother the other day. And all of you could say that about your own your family members and people in your family. And I do believe my grandmother's saved, one of the few in my family that I feel like is. And she's got emphysema from smoking. She knows it. She caused it herself. She doesn't blame anybody for it. Doesn't blame the tobacco company. She said, I knew what I was doing to myself. And she labors breathing. She's on oxygen. My granddad's died. Her sister's died, the only sister she had. Everybody around her that she grew up with in her generation, for the most part, are dead, Brother Gary. And she goes to the funeral home all the time. You know, every other week looks like she's going to the funeral home, sometimes every week, sometimes more than once a week. And I'm sure her kid's the only thing keeping her hanging on. But, you know, you just get tired of trying, laboring, you know, laboring to breathe, laboring to live. Most of the people you love have already gone on to glory. Well, I can understand why a person would just get tired, you know, just be ready to go on. And because they've got a hope that's set before them, if they've got a hope, and hopefully they do,
right,
you know. But thank God we do. If you're born again this morning, you've got a hope. Don't lose sight of it. God help me not to lose sight of the hope that we have before us. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth, not all the times because of our circumstances, Sister Mary. We're not always can't be happy about our circumstances. I can. Every place I find myself in life, I can't be happy about it. Thank God there are good times in life, and I've got something every day to be thankful for. I'm not saying
amen.
But every circumstance I find myself in, I cannot rejoice in. But I can always rejoice in hope if I'll focus my attention there and not on the circumstance. And God's got that for every one of His children. Every one of us have that ability to focus our mind and our thoughts on our hope rather than on our circumstances. And no matter how dark the hour, we can always do that, Brother Mike. Because heaven doesn't get any dimmer when somebody dies or when we've got financial problems or when we got sickness or we got family problems or we got problems at work or whatever the situation is. Heaven doesn't get any dimmer, Brother Gary. It doesn't change at all.
Right.
Our circumstance changed. Heaven didn't change at all. So, man, if I begin to focus my mind on that, it can pull me back up out of the mire. I don't have to be overtaken by that circumstance. And not to say that we're not going to be sad, we're not going to grieve, we're not going to have troubles. We all are. And boy, if we didn't, we wouldn't have a heart. But man, at the same time, we don't have to be overcome by our circumstances if we'll rejoice in hope. If we'll rejoice in hope. And thank God we've got hope to look to. And every one of us have that privilege. We've been given that privilege by God. But we looked at that, and they were overtaken in the ship, and boy, they became fearful. And Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? Their ship was going down. It was sinking. It was filling up with water. And when our ship starts to sink, that's what we need to do, is reach up, take a hold on God, have strong faith, rejoice and hope, Brother Gary. That's all we can do. The people that overcame in the scriptures, that's how they did it.
Amen.
That's how every one of them did it. And the people that were overcome by their circumstances didn't do that. And I think there were some, no doubt, that were overcome by their circumstances that didn't do it, that learned to do it later on, Brother Gary. Thank God the Lord's long-suffering and patient with us. Hey, we realize we're not perfect people. But we've been overcome. Thank God we can learn not to do it the next time. Thank God. And boy, we saw Peter learning all kinds of things throughout his life. And I'm sure there was a time when he wouldn't have been down there singing praises to God. There was a time when he wouldn't have done what he did on the day of Pentecost, Brother Mike. And you remember it took a mighty failure in his life for God to get him to the place he wanted him to be. He said, Peter, after thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I don't believe that was talking about salvation, Brother Sean. I believe that God was making, he was converting him. He was changing Peter into something, a vessel he could use, a vessel of honor. And it was going to take a failure in his life to do that. And thank God, God even uses the failures in our lives. Everything, the Bible says, all things work together for good. For them that are called, for them that are the chosen of God, all things work together for good, even the bad things, Brother Gary. And I thank God, but I've learned a lot of things through messing up, by sinning, by making mistakes, by having to go to God and say, God, I'm sick of myself. I don't want to go that direction anymore. Lord, I want to repent of that. I want to turn from that by your grace. I'm going to go a different way. And boy, God can help us, even in our failures, even in our struggles. And he can enable us to have victory. Thank God for that. Sometimes it takes a failure to get us to that point. God wouldn't have it to, but sometimes that's what it takes. The Bible says the Bible doesn't say it. It's an old saying. You hear people say, you can learn by example, or learn by going through something, going through a situation. But it's better if you learn from somebody else's going through it than it is going through your own. Look at somebody else's example of a failure. Look at the examples of failures in the scriptures and just don't go there to begin with, and then you don't have to worry about that. We looked at last week talking about the faith there. We looked at Peter as Jesus was walking on the water, and he bid Peter to come unto him. He said, Lord, bid me to come unto thee, and he did, and Peter started out on the water. He walking on top of the water, had his mind on Jesus. Man, look at what God's enabling me to do. And then he started looking at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And we use that for an example to say sometimes we start in faith, and somewhere along the way we lose faith. We start to sink, just like Peter did. And we learned last week that when we were looking at that passage of Scripture, that when he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord, and immediately the Lord reached down his arm and pulled him up. And thank God, even when we fail, even when our faith diminishes and it goes away and we don't exercise our faith, thank God the Lord can still pull us up.
Amen.
Thank God he can do that. Now, he would have us not to lose faith. He'd have us not to have to pull us out, Brother Gary, but thank God he can. And he can start out in faith, so we can have faith to walk above the circumstance. If we fail, God can pull us out of it. And then as soon as they got back to the ship, with the winds and the waves ceased, like they always did, and Jesus was teaching them that he was in control of the winds and the waves. So not only could he enable Peter to walk above the circumstance, he could deliver him from the circumstance, and he was in control of the circumstance.
Right.
I mean, if it wasn't for the Lord, the circumstance wouldn't have been there anyway. He's trying to teach him something.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week, how many things we suffer in our life, and we think, and we want to go to the Lord so many times and say, God, if you're God, like I know you are, why would you allow me to go through this? Why would you allow this to happen? God, why would you allow these things to happen in our life? Could God take away all the circumstances? Absolutely. Does he have the power to? Absolutely.
Right.
But brother, what would we learn if God removed all the obstacles in life? I don't know about you, but most of the things I learned, Brother Sean, in life, I learn in the valley. I don't learn a whole lot on the mountaintop, Brother Gary. I tend to be distracted on the mountaintop, more so than I am when I'm in the valley. And God's got to leave some snares. He's got to leave some obstacles. He's got to leave some things there, Brother Mike, so we can learn what we need to learn in this life. God took everything away and we just skipped through life. I'm not sure any of us, just think about it, if you didn't have any of the obstacles in your life up to this point, where you are right now, we've all got more to come, we know that. But just imagine if God had removed all the obstacles in your life that got you up to where you are right now. None of them were there. Okay, they were just gone. All those obstacles were removed. Would you be the kind of person that you are today? And I'm not saying any of us are perfect or where we want to be, but would you be the person that you are, the things that you know that maybe God's enabled you to be where you are today, would you be that if all those obstacles weren't there? I wouldn't be, brother. No. I wouldn't be. And I'm nothing, but I wouldn't be even what I am if it wasn't for what God had placed along the way, brother. Amen. He uses those things to build us and to make us, and he's not trying to be cruel. Yes, he could remove them. And we don't know, and here's another thing, you guys, we don't know what the Lord removes in the run of the day. We don't. How many obstacles does he pull out of the way that we don't even know about on a daily basis? Every minute of our life, we've all got ministering spirits around us. God's angels are watching over us. We don't know what the Holy Spirit and the ministering spirits of God remove from our path on a daily basis. Amen. I think we get home with the Lord, we're going to be amazed to see what God's done in our everyday life. Amen. But I don't know about you all, but sometimes I bellyache about the few that he leaves there.
That's right.
And those are intended for my good. God intends them for my good, not for my hurt. He's trying to mold me. He's trying to make me. And he's got to use those things to do that. You know, but we talked about the sailors out on the sea last week. And in Psalms 107, the Bible says, they that go down to the sea in ships to do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now again, so many times, Brother Mike, in the scriptures, Jesus said, peace be still. But when the waves just went from doing this to just... where they just evened out and the wind stopped. And he can do that anytime he wanted to, Brother Gary. And these people in the sea, the Lord could just make it a flat calm all the time when they go out to sea and do business in the sea, Brother Sean. They would never even have to see a wave. But he makes waves sometimes, doesn't he, Briley?
Amen.
And look at what happened when he made those waves. Where they begin to cry out to God. I think a lot of times our obstacles... many times only God knows his own mind and why he does stuff. And I'm not trying to say I know why God does what he does. But Brother Gary, I believe one of the reasons, and I believe we can prove it from Scripture, is just to get us to call out to him. Sometimes the trials and circumstances in our life are meant for nothing more than just to get us on our knees. And maybe many other things besides that, but definitely that's one of them. Because look at what happens here. They that go down to the, Psalm 107, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And boy, you would if you had that kind of job. You'd learn how to get a hold of God real quick. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Talking about God, he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord. And it didn't say they cried to him before that, Sister Pearl, but they do then. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, see, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I think God just many times has to remind us that he's God and we're just man. Because we tend to take control of our lives and take control of everything and start giving ourselves credit for everything. And we're prideful by nature, every one of us are. We've got a prideful streak in our flesh. And we begin, Brother Sean, sometimes to take credit for things we don't have any reason to take credit for. And God has to remind us that, hey, I'm God, and you're just man, and I can control any circumstance in your life. I can pull any string I need to get your attention. And sometimes he does a good job of getting our attention, doesn't he, Brother Gary? I know he gets mine all the time. But thank God through our faith, we can exercise our faith. And through that faith, we can overcome the world. We can overcome our problems, overcome our situation. I'm not saying we're ever going to be sad. Nothing's ever going to happen wrong. We're still going to have trials, still going to have afflictions. But through faith, we can get through them, Brother Gary. and get through them with a decent attitude and not have to be overcome by them. Through faith, we can overcome the world. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the victory that overcomes the world. That's what quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what enables us to get through the storms, Brother Sean, is our faith. Our faith is what enables us to do that. We lose faith, Brother Gary. We get overcome by it. We get depressed. We get despondent. We get down. We're bitter. The Bible says a wounded spirit, who can bear? Nobody wants to be around us. I mean, it's just a complete contamination when we get overcome by care. Every one of us, nobody wants to be around me. Nobody wants to be around you when you're a worrywart. Nobody likes to be around somebody like that. I don't want to. I don't like being around myself when I'm like that. I'm miserable. But boy, faith can pull us up out of that. It can enable us to say, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how it's going to work. But I know God's in control, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to leave it with Him. I can't handle it, just like I can't handle anything else in life. I'm going to do what God's told me I need to do, but I'm going to leave it with Him, leave the results with Him. God will just have to work it out. Boy, that will enable us to have some victory in our life, and we can rejoice in hope when we do that. And the Bible goes on to say there in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the only person that can overcome the world. And I'll tell you, as believers, as God's children, just like we've seen examples of, just like we just talked about, even as believers, Brother Gary, we can still allow the world to overcome us if we allow it to. If we don't keep our focus on the Lord Jesus, we don't keep our focus on Him and our faith and our trust in Him, circumstances in the world can overcome us. And I'm not talking about overcoming us and taking us to hell or anything, but I'm talking about overcoming our circumstance and weighing on our attitude and getting us in awful sorts. Because that's ultimately what we're talking about. We're talking about how to rejoice or how to be happy in the Father's house. It's just because we come to church every week doesn't mean that we're happy people. Sometimes Christians are some of the most miserable looking people you'd ever see walking on the face of the earth. And you know, the world's got to see that and say, well, my God, if they're that miserable, I got enough problems out here, man. I don't need that.
Amen.
You know, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to go through things as God's people that many times the world doesn't go through, Brother Gary. So if we don't learn how to deal with that, we're going to live a pretty miserable existence. We need to learn how to exercise our faith so we can go through those things even keeled, and they can look at that and say, my God, they just had their world fall apart, and they're still in pretty good standing. I need what they have.
Amen.
And not just for other people's sake, for our own sake. Amen. I don't want to live life miserably, brother. I don't want to be drugged down every day, my lip dragging the ground, and always worried about what's going on, and because there's always going to be something to worry about, always.
Right.
I don't want to live life like that, Brother Gary. I want to live life by faith. I don't want to be unconcerned. I've seen people like that too. I think we've all seen people like that. They act like not only are they not worried, but they don't even care. Now, I don't think that's how we ought to be. They ought to just not even be concerned when somebody dies or when things are going wrong or when another brother's hurting or sister's. And that isn't what God means. We're supposed to care. And we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, the Bible tells us. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. But we shouldn't be overcome by it. That's the thing. We shouldn't let it control us, Brother Mike, control our attitude. I've been depressed like that before. And I know a while back, several years ago, when I left one job, thought I was going into another, I'd already been promised a job, and I found out they wanted me to be a professional crook. And I said I couldn't do it. I told the guy that came down to interview me from Texas, I said, if this is what I've got to do, you're just wasting your time. Well, there I was. I already quit my first job, Brother Gary, and I'm without a job. I'm unemployed. And I got a family. Not only did I have a family, I found out I had another member of that family coming during that time. Brother Mike, I was the most depressed I've ever been in my entire life. I mean, I literally felt paralyzed by worry, Brother Gary. And I was praying the whole time, but it seemed like nothing was happening. I was like, God, why is this happening? I was trying to better myself. I was trying to get a position where I thought I could help my family. And now I'm without a job. What in the world? You know, what's going on here? And I was doing that, why are you allowing this to happen to me thing. God taught me some things there that I'll never forget. But I didn't know that at the time. It's easy, Brother Mike, when you get through it and you look back, right, brother?
Right.
Look back, yeah, okay, God, I can see what you're doing. But when you're going through it, it's not like that.
Right.
It's easy to talk about it on the other side, Brother Terry. Yeah. When you're going through it, just like the things you're going through, brother, it's easy to talk about it after you've already gone through it. When you're going through it, it's a different situation for all of us. We know that. But boy, worry can just destroy us if we allow it to. It can get us where we're not fit for buzzard bait, as preacher would say. And we need to learn how to keep our faith in God even when the circumstances aren't what we'd have them to be, even when we don't know how they're going to turn out. When we don't see light at the end of the tunnel, realize that my God's still in control. I don't know the end of this. I don't know the result. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know why I'm still in this situation. But God does. And trust Him. We trust Him even in those situations. It's hard to do in our flesh, but boy, that's what the Spirit would have us to do. And that's what the Lord would have us to do every time. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts. We'll quench them, put them out, extinguish them by faith. The only way we can do it is by faith. That's the only way. The only way we can overcome them. Can't do it in ourselves. We can do it through the Lord.
That's right.
If you would turn your Bibles to James chapter number 4, and we'll try to finish out here this section of Scripture. James chapter number 4, verse number 13.